بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. I have permitted all to make a picture of the mountain. Yes, permitted all to make a picture of the mountain. What if a person making a picture of the mountain to be worshipped?
Right.
You know what? Why?
Because when there's a picture being permitted or not permitted, it's just a series of four categories that we mention.
I want you to mention the why it's not permissible.
The purpose behind making the picture.
Okay.
And it's for glorification and purposes, no matter what it might be, then it's not permissible.
Okay. Why, what is the relation of this chapter to Tawheed?
The fact that a person is imitating the creation of Allah by making the picture.
What does that have to do with Tawheed?
And creation done for Allah.
Yeah. What are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to preserve our oath? What does that entail to preserve the oath? Okay, this is the first one. To avoid faith of oath. Secondly, if we make an oath. Okay. If you do not fulfill it,
then you
make it. How about if somebody swears in a false situation and says, Wallahi, this and this happened and it did not happen. And then he goes and make a kafara. Is that permissible?
No, that's
so if the kafara is not for making a false oath, kafara when somebody makes an oath to do something, but then for some reason he finds it's not suitable to carry on the oath, so he does something else, but he has to make the kafara for that oath. How about taking an oath binding upon Allah? To say, Wallahi Allah is going to do that. What is the category of that?
The category is when you swear by Allah.
Upon Allah, not
you swear upon Allah.
By Allah.
That he, when he, and say what he legislates. When you swear upon Allah, that he's going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
When you swear upon Allah as
what's the difference between he wants to do something and
well,
give us an example.
Like
hadith
that we had about the companion, who said, by Allah, my feet
are stable again. Yes, so he did that in hope, and he was full of trust in Allah that that will not happen. How about the third category?
Yes, so by when you see a girl with a man, when he says, he shows up a sinner.
And Allah says, من ذا الذي يتألى علي ألا أغفر لفلان غفرت له وأحفظت عمله. So what is the relation of that to Tawheed? The relation of that to Tawheed, we cannot dictate upon Allah what he should do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to show us what to do. He is the one who has the tadbir of the affair. Did you read the hadith that I told you to read?
No.
About when the Prophet ﷺ made a person an emir?
No.
and have those who read this hadith on your own. Now we're going to move to the next chapter, which is chapter number, what is the number?
65.
This chapter 65 deals with intercession. We have talked about intercession before, and we said there is a Shafi' who is the intercedee, al-mashfu'u lahu, who was the beneficiary of the intercession, and al-mashfu'u ilayhi, who is the interceder. The one who is the intercedee is making the intercession too. When the intercession takes place, always the intercedee is a lesser interposition than the interceder. The interceder is the one who the intercession is made to. Not made for, made to. We can, the believer, by the permission of Allah and according to the conditions that we have previously discussed, they can intercede to Allah for the beneficiary. But we cannot make Allah intercede and we is the intercedee and we are the interceder. You understand? Because that means we are on higher status than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what this hadith talks about, but this hadith is a weak hadith. It was reported as Da'if Abu Dawood, number 1017. So we're going to skip reading it, and we go inshallah to the issues. We go to the next chapter, chapter number 66. But we now know the purpose of this chapter. And the practice that to a person to say that I go to another individual and they say, we want Allah to intercede for us to you. And people say that when they talk. So this is not the right formula. Allah cannot intercede for you to me because I'm lesser than Allah. And by doing so, you're making the human of a higher status than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa al-ayyadu billah. So we're going to go to chapter 56. And this chapter 56 باب ما جاء في حماية النبي حمى التوحيد وسده طرق الشرك. The Prophet safeguarding of Tawheed and his clothing of the path to shirk. We know that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did everything possible to deliver his nation from falling into shirk. From falling into shirk. One of those ways is he restricted his nation and he instructed his nation not to extol him, not to exaggerate in praising him. We have talked about that before, and now this is something similar to that. And this hadith that عبد الله بن الشخير رضي الله عنه قال انطلقت في وفد بني عامر إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلنا أنت سيدنا فقال سيد الله تبارك وتعالى قلنا وأفضلنا فضلا وأعظمنا قولا فقال قولوا بقولكم أو بقول الشيطان رواه أبو داود بسند جيد. It was reported that this companion, Abdullah ibn Shakhir, he said, I went with the delegation of Banu Amir to Allah's Messenger. and we said, "You are our master." He replied to that and he said, "The master is Allah, the blessed, the exalted." Then we said, "You are one of us most endowed with excellence and superiority." To this, the Prophet replied, "Say that what you have to say or part of what you have to say, and do not let the shaitan get you carried away." So in this hadith, we find that it's permissible to say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Sayyiduna." It's perfectly permissible. Because when they say to the Prophet, "You are Sayyiduna," he did not say, do not do that. But he gave them a tanbih, a reminder that he said, "Sayyidullah, Allah is the master." So do not let that confuse you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the absolute master. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a master, as he said, "Ana Sayyidu Wulid Adam wa la faqa." Then they went on to praising him, and he said, "Say that or say some of it, and do not let the shaitan, you know, entice you and instigate you to get carried away in that until you reach to the level of some people now today, where they make the Prophet a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So this is why the Prophet said that. Meaning he said that to them, not to extol him and to exaggerate and praise him. Also in another hadith, عن أنس رضي الله عنه, أن ناسا قالوا يا رسول الله يا خيرنا وابن خيرنا وسيدنا وابن سيدنا, فقال يا أيها الناس قولوا بقولكم ولا يستهوينكم الشيطان, أنا محمد عبد الله ورسوله, وما أحب أن ترفعوني فوق منزلة التي أنزلني الله عز وجل. Narrated by الإمام النسائي بسند جيد. That some people came to the Prophet of Allah and they say, "You are the best of us and the son of the best of us, and you are our master and the son of our master." He said, "O people, say some of what you say and do not let the shaitan mislead you. Do not let the shaitan make you follow that which is your desire, to fascinate you with your speech. I am Muhammad, the slave of Allah and His Messenger. I do not like for you to put me higher than the status that Allah put me at." So also from this hadith, they said, "You are the best of us," and which is correct, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of him. And the son of the best of us, this is not correct, because he is the son of Abdullah. And we say that he said about his father that he was in the hellfire. So he's not the son of the best of them. But if they were referring, his father is the best of them as far as his genealogy, that could be correct. Also, our master and the son of our master, the same thing applies here. And he said, "I am Muhammad, the slave of Allah and His Messenger." The title slave of Allah is the most honorable title to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore Allah refers to His Messenger as His slave in many occasions in the Quran. In the occasion of Al-Isra, He says, "Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi," His slave. Also in Al-Mi'raj, He says, "Fa'awha ila abdihi ma awha," in defending His revelation. He says, "وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْدٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا," if you have any doubt in that which we have revealed to our slaves. So the most honorable title to the Prophet is the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that does not mean we cannot say to you that أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وأن سيدنا محمدا رسول الله. Correct. But we should not make that a habit where we make it it overly praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor we insert this word in remembrance that were given to us in a certain format. So when we are reading at-tashahhud, tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu, we cannot insert Sayyidina in this tashahhud. So this is an act of worship that has to remain in the same. But I didn't say that he is the Sayyid without overly praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read the issue, inshaAllah.
Morning against exaggeration. When the one who says that they said to him, you are a master. The Prophet of Allah made one statement, the man has a response, he should carry away from the unusual truth.
So as we see this chapter and the one before it, the way it was titled, the Prophet of Allah said what he said and he taught the people what he taught, for them not to get carried away in exaggerating the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nowadays, we find people who exaggerate in praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so, they make him a co-equal to Allah in some situations. They say the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entails everything that is in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Thus he knows the unseen, your thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the unseen, and there is no doubt that making him a partner to Allah, not a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last chapter by which the Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah concluded his book of chapter the number 57, this chapter talks about, and it's a very appropriate ending, talks about the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how people did not glorify Allah, or some people do not glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way it should be done. In this chapter we're going to find the author brought many evidence that shows the glory, the majesty, the reverence of Allah Azza wa Jal, and how all the creations are under His control. That should inculcate in us fear from Allah, love in Allah. When you compare yourself, the almost nothing of human beings, to the majesty and to the greatness of Allah, you find yourself you have no choice but to adhere fully to the instruction of the Lord. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the surah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَّضَتْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. He did not glorify Allah the way He should be glorified. And the earth is in His hands. The entirety of the earth is in His hands today on the day of judgment. And all the skies are folded in His right hand. The glory be to Him and highness be to Him, and He is above that which they are associated with him. So that should give us a feeling, a perception of the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as the earth in its entirety is put in his hand, he grasps it in his hand on the day of judgment. And all the stars, they will be folded in his right hand. Also the second hadith says, قال جاء حبر من الأحبار إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال يا محمد إنا نجد أن الله يجعل السماوات إن الله يجعل السماوات على إصبع والأراضين على إصبع والشجر على إصبع والماء على إصبع والثرى على إصبع وسائر الخلق على إصبع فيقول أنا الملك فضحك النبي حتى بدت نواجذه تصديقا لما يقول الحبر ثم قرأ وما قدر الله حق قدره والأرض جميعا قبضته يوم القيامة. الله أكبر. Like a rabbi came to the Prophet and he said, O Muhammad, we find it meaning in the Torah that Allah put the sky on one finger and the earth on one finger, and the trees on one finger, and the water and the dust on one finger, and everything else that is created on one finger, and then he says, I am the king. At that time, the Prophet laughed until his nawajid, his moral teeth were shown. And then he said, and recited the ayah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This hadith also, brothers, gives you insight to the glory and to the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. When he put all those small and large creations, all of them, each one of them on one of his fingers. And in this hadith, we affirm one of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the fingers. But how we understand those fingers without resemblance? Without styling, without applying those fingers to Allah? Without suspending? One more. Without altering the need. So without applying those, our perception of fingers to Allah, that is without styling. And without resemblance, we do not resemble Allah's attributes to our attributes. And in the narration of Muslims, it says, والجبال والشجر على إصبع ثم يهزهن فيقول أنا الملك أنا الله. And a narration of Muslim, the mountains and the trees will be on one finger and then they will be shaken. Allah will shake them all and he say, I am the king, I am Allah. And in the narration of Al-Bukhari, he put the sky on one finger, the water and the dust on a finger, and everything else on another finger. And also narrated according to Ibn Umar marfu'an, يَطْوِي اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثم يأخذهن بيده اليمنى ثم يقول أنا الملك أين الجبارون أين المتكبرون ثم يطوي الأراضين السبع ثم يأخذهن بشماله ثم يقول أنا الملك أين الجبارون أين المتكبرون. In this narration, according to Ibn Umar Marfu'an, which was selected by a Muslim, that Allah will fold the sky on the day of judgment. Then He will take them in His right hand. This is affirming the quality of Allah of having a hand. Then He says, "Ana al-Malik, I am the king. Where are the arrogant and where are the tyrants?" Where Allah, in this way, Allah is saying, where are the arrogant and where are the tyrants? He's not, you know, inquiring about where they are. Allah knows where they are. But this inquiry denotes challenge. Like when you say, where is he, this person? Like you want to challenge him. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I am the king. There's no more king. When they hide, they die. No more king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the king. We are the tyrant, we are the arrogant. So we want to make sure when we hear that, we do not want to be from those who Allah is going to say to them on the day of judgment, where are you? So we have to stay away from arrogance. We have to stay away from tyranny. And that does not apply to things of faith, but also applies to every one of us, because every one of us is a sultan. A sultan is a higher than a king and less than an emperor. A sultan in his household. So since you are the sultan of your household, be careful not to be a tyrant or arrogant in your household. So Allah will not inquire about you on the day of judgment. Then Allah will call al-Aradin al-Sabah, the seven earths. And what we mean by seven earths, it does not mean we have seven planets. One but has seven layers. Some people think there are seven. What should I call it? What do you call it? Seven planets? Not seven planets, one. But the earth is seven layers. Allah will fold the seven earths, and then He will take them by His left. And then He will say, I am the king, where are the tyrants, where are the arrogant? In this hadith also, it says in His left. Some of the scholars say this word left is shadda, irregular. Because in different hadith it says all the hands of Allah are right. But here it says left. Therefore they declare it to be shadda. Some scholars say no, it's not shadda. Even though it's left, but both of the hands of Allah are right. Meaning, in our perspective, the left hand is a lesser degree than the right hand. The left hand is weaker than the right hand. But in case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both of Allah's hands are right. Both of the hands of Allah, both of His hands, they're not one of them has more power than the other one. But again, when we talk about the hand, we do not let our imagination go and think just like we have right hand and left hand, Allah has a right hand and a left hand, and the hand is part of the body, so the hand of Allah is part of His body. We have to be very careful. When we are talking about the attributes of Allah, we do not give rein to our imagination to think about how is those attributes apply to Allah. We only know that those attributes are Allah's attributes. And as I'm saying that, because this is very important. Some people, they start falling into resembling. Without thinking about it, they start resembling in their mind the attributes of Allah. We said, we cannot resemble because He said nothing like unto Him. So nobody can think Allah's hand is part of a whole. That is a whole tree. Also, we cannot apply and style those attributes because we cannot style it all. We are told about it. And all of those three are negated in this case. So we affirm the attributes without resembling or styling and also without suspending or altering. Then Allah will say, I am the king, where are the tyrants, where are the arrogant. Another hadith, it says,
وروي عن ابن عباس ما السماوات السبع والأرضون السبع في كف الرحمن إلا كالخرجلة في يد أحدكم.